We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav Halacha Yud Dalid Chapter 6 Law 14 in the Maznayim text. That's on page 262 and 263. The Rambam has been talking about what happens if you forget to make an Erev Tavshilin before Yontif, how you can make it on Tanai, on condition, between the first and second day, playing one day against the other, if it is indeed Yontif or not. If one day is first day is not Yontif, then you want the Erev Tavshilin to work being made on the first day of Yontif, which isn't Yontif. And if it is Yontif, you want to wait. And then the next day of Yontif, the second day, if that's not Yontif, then you can certainly make the Erev Tavshilin. And if it was, you've made the Erev Tavshilin from the day before. So that was the Rambam, that was a solution. However, in Halacha Yudal, he says the following. Kol hadvar ma'elu, all these words that we said, shamarnu, hayu bizman, shahayu bezdin, shal eretz yisrael, makachin al pi ha'ri'iyah. That's when the bezdin and eretz yisrael sanctified the moon visually. And therefore, v'hayu b'nei ha'goliyos, osin shnei yamim, kedei listalik min ha'safik. And therefore, the people in the golos would make 2 days of yantav, because there was a legitimate safik, a legitimate doubt. Because they didn't know the day that the people of Eretz Yisrael would sanctify the moon. So therefore they really did not know. But today, now we are koveya the new month based on the calculations and the shmur cut and already made all the Rosh Chodeshes till the times of Mashiach. So it's not a question of doubts. So ain yom tov sheni lehistalik min asavik. It's not a second of yom tov to remove ourselves from doubts. Ela minhag bilvad. It's only a custom. And therefore, it's not a question to say, well, if I don't know if today is yom tov, then I'm making condition. If tomorrow's yom tov, I'm making condition. We know for sure the first day is yom tov. And the second day is minhag. And what do we mean by minhag? Means that it's a minhag that since we know the first day is certainly Yom Tov and the second day remains as a minhag, and therefore it is considered a Yom Tov Vadai Mitzad HaMinhag, a certain day of Yom Tov out of custom, because we establish it to treat it as a Yom Tov, and therefore you cannot make conditions for that. So he concludes in Halacha Tezvav, therefore Ani Omer, I say, as the Rambam saying himself, not basing it on any Gemaras or anything, I hold she'ein ma'arev adam u'masna b'smanazeh. You can't make an erev on condition nowadays. Lo eru v'tavshilin, not an erev tavshilin. V'lo eru chatzeres, not an erev chatzeres. V'lo shitufim mavos, or a partnership in an alleyway. And as well as he mentioned earlier that you can make maser on condition between the 2 days of yontiv, normally v'ein maaser ha'tevel tonight. You can't make give maser on tevel. That was on condition. Ela hakol me erev yontiv b'fad. You could only do things on erev yontiv, and you can't do it any time before that. So that's clear. The Rambam says that this way out no longer exists, because he holds that even the second day has a status of yontiv vaday, although it would be rabbinic al pi minig, but still has to be treated like a yontiv. The Ravid strongly disagrees with this. He says even though the Rambam has an interesting svara. But he says we don't find the Gaonim and the earlier rabbis who made a differentiation. And if anything, they say it is an a fortiori, that if the second day is certainly not a day of Yontif, certainly you could make an Erev on the 2 days, you could make the Erev Tavshilin. There's certainly, you know for sure that the second day is not Yontif. If the second day is not Yontif, then what kind of games are you playing? If it's clearly not Yontif, but we still the Maisa keep it as a Yontif. And that's in the Rambam and the Ravid. Now, the Ravid is saying, it's clearly not Yontif, so why are we worrying about this issue? It's not Yontif the second day. The Rambam is saying, but we still treat it like Yontif. If it wasn't Yontif, why do we treat it like Yontif? Must be it's the Minig wants us to treat it like a Yontif, and therefore it's certainly like a Yontif. The Ravid says, I hear your Svara, but it still isn't logical to say this. So if we look down in the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ravid and says he doesn't know why we shouldn't do it. And in his Beis Yosef, in his commentary, the Shulchan Aruch explains the more lenient view and saying that when you institute the observance of the second of the Yom Tov in the present day, the rabbis did not require its observance to be more important, more stringent than it was originally. So if you originally had it, you should be able to keep it. Be that as it may, from the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef would appear to say you could do it. However, if we look in the more contemporary Svarim, the contemporary Svarim do not bring this down as a solution. And rather, we have the other solutions that we'll look at as we go through now in the Halachas from the Sefer Yom Tov in Halacha. So let's quickly go over a few Halachas regarding Erev Tavshilin as they come into the practical Halachic stage. Now, we said that what food do you use to make Erev Tavshilin? So you take a portion of bread or matzah, that should be preferably the size of an egg, and also a food that's cooked in any manner, fried, roasted, etc., at least the size of an olive, and those two things should be made as the Erev Tavshilin. The bread or the matzah is needed to enable you to bake, and preparing a cooked food permits you to do any kind of cooking that's there. However, the food that's used for the Erev Tavshilin should be something that one usually eats as part of a bread meal, such as meat, fish, or eggs. But something that's not eaten with bread, like a dessert, should not be used for the Erev Tavshilin as that cooked dish. Now, of course, to beautify the mitzvahs, the rabbis tell us that one should take a whole bread or a whole matzah and a nice portion of a cooked food rather than using those minimum requirements. Now, people have a custom of using a hard-boiled egg for the Erev Tavshilin. Where did that custom come from? Because it was originally adopted before we had refrigerators, so hard-boiled eggs would not spoil before Shabbos, and therefore other foods could. But the truth of the matter is, you can use a food as long as it's edible before Shabbos, any food works. As well, since Erev Tavshilin is a mitzvah, it's good to continue to use it for another mitzvah. We can accomplish this by using the bread and matzah for Lech HaMishnah during the Shabbos meals, and then finally to use it and eat it at Shalosh Shudos. Now, it's preferable that the food that's being cooked, specifically, the food should be cooked for the Erev Tavshilin, should be specifically cooked for the purpose of Erev Tavshilin, or at least prepared specifically for Shabbos. What am I trying to bring out? But let's say, if you're not cooking before Yom Tov, and you don't plan on cooking before Yom Tov, it's not in your best interest. And it'd be a great inconvenience for you to cook something specifically, before Yom Tov for Shabbos, then you can rely on opinions that say, just set aside a cooked food before Yom Tov, and a bread and a matzah as well. In other words, can you go to Sobeys and just pick up someone else's challah that was made, and pick up a cooked dish, and you didn't specifically cook it for Yom Tov? So l'chadchila, you should be cooking it specifically for the Erev Tavshilin and baking it specifically for the Erev Tavshilin, and, or at least, specifically for Shabbos. But if you just don't, it doesn't work out for you, you can pick up anything else and use that as well. Now, if you don't want to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you don't want to bake, you just want to cook, then a cooked item is sufficient. And as we learned in the Rambam earlier, that is the main thing, is the cooked item. According to the Rambam, you don't even need the baked item. Now, let's say in a situation, let's say where you made an erev and you prepared only a cooked item, you forgot to prepare the baked item, certainly you can still, nevertheless rather, you can bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Because the main part of the erev is the cooked item. But if you remember before Yom Tov that the baked item was missing, and you want to bake on Yom Tov, you should set aside a baked item even after you had made the Erev Tavshilin, but you would not make a new bracha on that. Now, obviously, the way you make the Erev Tavshilin is you pick up the baked and cooked foods, you say the bracha, as we saw in the Rambam, and you say the B'dene Ruva, and you say it in a language that you understand. Now, if you made the Erev but forgot to say the phrase B'dene Ruva, and you remembered before Yom Tov that you didn't make it, so you should take the Erev again and say that phrase B'dene Ruva, but the bracha should not be recited again because you already made the bracha. If you didn't remember to do the bedain before Yom Tov, and there's no one who's made an erev for the whole city, so what you should do is give the unprepared food as a present to someone else who's made an erev. And that person then can bake the food and then give it back for you, and if that's not possible, then you can rely on the opinions that hold that an erev is valid even without saying bedain. Now, if you forgot to say the bracha, but said the phrase bedain, then you don't have to say the bracha, even if you remember before Yom Tov, because the bedain really has described and has said exactly what the erev is all about. Now, when do you make the Erev Tashilim? The Erev Tashilim can be made any time during the day before Yontif. But what if you made it beforehand? Because you're afraid, I might forget to do it on Erev Yontif. So there's a machlokas in the poskim that's valid, let's say, if you did it on a Tuesday and not on Wednesday. So, if you did it on Tuesday, so if you remember during the day before Yontif, you should make it again without a bracha. If not, you can rely on that in advance. In other words, people always say, oh, I always forget an Erev Yontif, I want to make it on Tuesday. So, if you want to make it on Tuesday, you can make it on Tuesday, but just make it again without a bracha on Wednesday to fulfill all the opinions. And if you forgot, it would still be good for what you did on Tuesday. Now, if you want, you can designate a shliach, a messenger, to make an Erev Tashilim for you. Let's say you know you won't be home on Erev Yontif until very late. You could tell someone else to make the Erev Tashilim, and this can be done in one of two ways. Either the messenger can use his own food, or he can set aside food that belongs to the person for whom the Erev is being made. Now, there's a difference though. When the messenger's using his own food, then a third person has to acquire it for the person for whom the Erev is being made for. So therefore the messenger has to ask someone other than his wife or kids who are dependent on him to pick up the Erev from where it's lying, at least one tefach in the air, and this third person has in mind to acquire the Erev for the person for whom it's being made. Then the messenger takes it back from the third person. He says the bracha and says the phrase bedein. Now, if the messenger is using food that already belongs to the one from the Erev is being made, and the food is already designated, then it's a shaila if the bracha has to be recited. Therefore, the messenger should just say the bedein and not the bracha. But where the messenger sets the Erev himself, okay, if the messenger sets the Erev himself, then he can recite the bracha as well. Now, who's included in the Erev Tashilin? So not everyone is obligated to make their own Erev Tashilin. It's sufficient for one person for a household. We already learned from the Rambam, one for 1,000. The reason for that is since all the cooking is done for the household, is usually done in one kitchen, we only need one reminder. So anyone who's a member of that household, or even someone who's spending Yontif in the house and eating the meals together with the family, is included in the Erev Tashilin and can be cooking and doing anything that's there. Now, let's say someone is staying at home, but is eating the Yontif meals at someone else's house, okay, will not be included in the Erev Tashilin because they're not sleeping in their house. Therefore, you have to make your own Erev Tashilin if you want to do any kind of cooking, even in the other guy's house, for Yontif for Shabbos. If he's not going to do any cooking in his own house, but let's say he's going to be lighting candles for Shabbos, we will see later, it's a machlokas, and therefore you should make an Erev Tashilin without saying the bracha. So you always end up making an Erev Tashilin if you are sleeping in your own house, lighting your own candles, even though you're eating someone else. Mitzad Safik, you should make an Erev Tashilin without a bracha. Now, this also applies to people who are not members of the household, who want to help with the preparation of the Shabbos foods on Yontif. Will only be permitted if they've made their own Erev, which allows them to cook on Yontif for themselves. But if it's not a concern, for someone on Shabbos to eat at another's home food that was prepared on Yontif, even though the guest himself may not have made an Erev Tashilin. The reasoning is that when the food was cooked, it belonged to someone else who made the Erev. Now, what about the rabbi's Erev? It's custom that the rabbi in every city includes everyone in his Erev, and this is effective even for those who are not part of his household. And in the instances where they forgot to make an Erev Tashilin, or they lost it, or they were unaware they have to make an Erev Tashilin, but that's only in those situations. If someone was lazy or negligent and didn't prepare the Erev Tashilin, he's not including the Rav's Erev. The question is, what is considered negligent? So we say like this, if it's the first time you forgot to make an Erev, then you could be included in the Rav's Erev Tashilin. But what if you forget the next time? So there's a machlokas in the poskim. It seems that everybody agrees if it's the very next Yontif, two in a row you forgot, you can't be included in the Rav's Erev. What about if you forgot one, and you were including the rabbi's Erev, the next Yontif you did make an Erev, and then the following one you forgot. So then there's a machlokes, and b'dievid, you could rely on the Rav for that. And again, when the Rav makes it, he's going to have another person pick up the Erev Tashilin to include everybody else that's part of the rabbi's Erev Tashilin. And we will continue in the next lesson to finish up these halachas and continue on in the Rambam.